Tango Tango Papa 2111, April 7th, 2022.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Weiser with you, coming to you this evening from Lincoln, Alabama. So, I've been back at work, not quite a week yet. I came back to work on April the 2nd. So that was, I believe that was on a Saturday, and so today is Thursday, so been back at work about 5 days, depending on how you count it. So I made it home, I guess it would have been... a little more than a week ago Sunday. So I think I got home on the March the 27th, sort of late in the evening. It was like 9:30, and so my friend, I have a friend that had him receive the, you know, because I had ordered a kind of a large TV stand, sort of a credenza style TV stand with a built-in, kind of a little built-in fake fireplace display thing with, you know, that actually would put out heat too. But you can, you know, it's one of the things where you can either, you know, it's, it plugs in, so it's an electric heater and fake fireplace display, or you just can leave the electric heat off and turn on the fake fireplace display. So my friend, I had him, you know, a lot of times I, you know, I'll have stuff sent to him if I'm not going to be home, or if I think I'm not going to be home to receive it, something like that, you know, because it has to, it's not going to come in the mail, it's going to come, you know, either FedEx or UPS, one of those. So he was kind enough to bring it over to my house and leave it on the one of the decks. That would have been Sunday afternoon on the 27th, and then I got home, I don't know, it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. Sunday evening on the 27th, and so once I made it home, I kind of got around and I started assembling the TV stand with the fake fireplace. So I worked on it, I don't know, until about 1 o'clock in the morning, and then I decided I was just too tired to keep going. So I went, you know, I got it, you know, I'd say more than, at least halfway or more than halfway assembled. And so then I got up the next morning, I got up and I finished it. And just a few minutes after I finished getting the thing together and kind of testing it, making sure that the fake fireplace insert portion worked properly, the phone rang, and it was, of course, I was receiving a television from Best Buy. And so it was the guy from Best Buy wondering if they could come a little bit early, and because originally it was scheduled for any time after noon. And it was about 10:30 in the morning when he called, and so they said, sure, head right this way. And so they showed up about 11 o'clock. And they brought the TV in and got it you know, unboxed it and got the base put on. Of course, the TV is rather massive. It's 85 inches. I think it's, what is the model number? It's a QN90A, I believe. So it's basically the flagship model, I believe, for 2021. Samsung's flagship, you know, the 4K flagship version. And so they've got that and got it put together. And, of course, I had the stand assembled in the room. And so they got it up on in the room, up on the stand, and got it working. And, you know, so I'm quite happy with it. So, but I, you know, that was, had I not gotten, you know, and it turned out I was home late. It would have been, you know, obviously it would have been easier if I could have gotten home earlier in the day, but what ended up happening, I had the load that I had two different drops, and so they had the first one going to Springfield, Missouri. And so in that one, I, you know, I got there and, you know, I was there like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I think I finally got out of there by, I don't know, it was like 10:30 or 11 o'clock, 10:30 in the morning. Finally, you know, so it just took forever. And then the next part of it, the remainder went to Oklahoma City, and that was just a drop and hook on the Oklahoma City end. So I made it to Oklahoma City and did the drop and hook pretty quickly. And then, like I say, I made it home by, I don't know, it was like 8:30 or 9 o'clock, something like that. That's when I actually made it home. And, you know, but I got, you know, I got the thing together and got the TV received. And so that was, you know. Because otherwise, had I not gotten the thing together, then what they would have had to do would be put the TV together, you know, put the base on the TV and just set it in the room. And then once I got the thing assembled, I'd have to get probably one of my younger brothers to come help me lift it up onto the base. But as it was, it all worked out. So that was my kind of my major goal. You know, and then the rest of the time it was just spent at home, you know, just the typical stuff, meeting people to eat and, you know, all, you know, doing laundry and kind of, you know, hanging out here and hanging out there and, you know, kind of all the typical things. So, but in any case, I came back to work, and so I've, you know, now I'm, right now I'm on my way to, where am I going? I'm trying to think of the name of it. Irving, Texas, Dallas suburb. So I'm on my way to Irving, Texas, and then after that, that delivers any time on the 9th. Today's the 7th. After that, I pick up another load, I'm not sure, somewhere around Dallas-Fort Worth, and then that goes to North Platte, Nebraska, and I think it delivers any time on the 11th, if I'm not mistaken. So, in the last podcast, I talked about losing kind of my credit card because the waitress kind of swapped cards with another driver. You know, she gave him my card and she gave me his card. And of course, he was already gone by the time I noticed that I had the wrong card. So I, and of course, I gave his card back to her and I immediately canceled my card. And so, fortunately, you know, I came back to work Saturday, so before I left Saturday, I made a trip down to the post office, and fortunately, it you know, it was, they were kind of true to their word. They said the new card would arrive within 5 to 7 days, the replacement card, and so it did. It came on Saturday the 2nd, you know, in the mail, and so I was able to activate it, and I've got my card back. So, the you know, it's like a Sam's MasterCard. So I'm pretty happy that, you know, got it back. And because I do use that card a lot for dining. That's primarily what it ends up getting used for, although I use it for everything. But I do obviously do lots of dining because I, you know, I'm out here in the truck and I usually eat twice a day, typically. You know, plus a few little incidental things here and there. So, you know, even though I would, you know, get, you know, a higher percentage back on, you know, if like people, you know, if I, you know, when I buy gas, I get a, I think like 3% back on gas, but I don't buy that much gasoline, you know, just only when I'm home, and it's not, it doesn't really amount to a whole lot. But the dining, which only, I think the dining only gets 2% cash back, but it does add up because, it, you know, it, of course, you know, with me eating only meat, including fish, salad and vegetables in restaurants, that is about twice as expensive as, you know, the typical meals where, you know, it's crammed full of carbohydrates. So I'm spending generally, I'd say, on the average, at least $40 a day or $40 to $50 a day with tips for two meals, because each meal typically with, you know, with, let's say I order steak with, you know, and it comes with, a, you know, like a vegetable and a salad or whatever, or sometimes steak and eggs or whatever. That typically with a drink and everything, it comes to $22, $23, $24, sometimes even more. Sometimes all the way up to like 28. It just depends on where I eat at. So that does add up. And even though it's twice as expensive, there's no way that I would go back to eating all the crap carbohydrates. Because my weight is just utterly remarkable, and I'm still amazed by it. My weight stays at right around 145, and it doesn't, you know, I eat some pretty good sized meals. It doesn't seem to matter whether I snack or not. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, but the snacks are either, you know, I have the almonds that I usually get at Sam's Club, you know, and I don't, you know, I don't just gorge myself on them, but I'll eat a few here and there, you know, and then the cheese sticks, which are, you know, if I need a snack, that's very satisfying. Once in a while, if I can't, if there's no restaurant available, then I'll stop in a, like a, you know, get a convenience store, either the chicken that they have, which is breaded usually, but it's not that big of a deal apparently. Or sometimes the roller wieners or frankfurters, whatever you want to call them. And obviously those aren't, you know, depending, those are probably, they probably do have some carbohydrates in them, but not that bad, and they haven't, you know, hasn't caused a problem at all. So, but my weight just for the past couple of years especially has just stayed, well, I think for a while it was around 155, maybe in year one, year two, because year one, I, you know, I dropped about 35 pounds or so, and then, you know, and then the second year I think it kind of dropped a little bit more, and then now this past year it stayed right at 145. And you know, I find that utterly amazing, because prior to that it was you know, kind of bouncing 185, 190, and then it, you know, of course, way back in the early 2000s when I was working at that eye clinic, I got up to the highest weight I ever was at was 225, and I'm only 5'10" tall. You know, so that's really significant. You know, that's 70 pounds. And at this point, I don't, you know, I don't worry about what I eat. I don't have to think about, you know, I eat, you know, I'm full, and the stuff that I'm eating, I'm very satisfied with. I feel great. Feel better than I have in years. I didn't, of course, I didn't realize I was feeling bad, but but I do, you know, I feel pretty good, and you know, got lots of energy. I don't, you know, I never get tired during the day. Like, I, you know, there were, you know, for years I would kind of have, you know, and what it was basically a sugar crash, where I would, you know, kind of get, start feeling drowsy in the middle of the day, and then, you know, have to drive because the, couldn't stop the clock, you know, the logbook clock, and, you know, that's just the worst feeling in the world, because there were plenty of times where I would have loved to just stop and take a nap. And in the old days, I would sometimes, you know, when the clock really didn't matter, there were plenty of times where I would stop in the middle of the day and maybe sleep for, you know, for a while, and then drive more. But, you know, now I don't have to worry about it. I just, I never get drowsy in the middle of the day. So, really quite remarkable. But you know, but that brings up a good point that I've been thinking about. You know, there are a lot of people that still believe, you know, that cholesterol is bad, and you got to cut out the cholesterol, or you're going to have, you know, you're going to have all kinds of negative health effects, and it's, you know, the cholesterol's going to kill you, and don't eat red meat, and, you know, of course, then they end up eating all kinds of carbohydrates, because, you know, because there's only three nutrients, basically, or so-called macronutrients, you know, fat, protein, or and carbohydrates, and that's it. Those are the three things that we, you know, as biological entities, that's what we survive on. But, you know, you got to keep, you know, of course, they, you know, you really lower the fat, you know, and if you lower the fat, and the protein, then you got to replace it with something. And so typically they replace it with carbohydrates. You know, and they'll argue up and down. I've had people argue with me that, well, you know, the insurance companies, they follow the actuarial tables. They know better, you know, and like American Diabetes Association, they've got, you know, whatever on their website, which that's changing, by the way, because now they're, you know, that's all kind of they're slipping it in slowly. But, see, the problem is that these things, you know, people want to say, well, I believe in the science. People, you know, they say that all the time. And they pound you over the head with it. You're anti-science. Believe in the science. Follow the data. But they don't do it. You know, and then you have this consensus. Well, it's the scientific consensus that, you know, global warming is real. Man-made global warming is a thing. So-called anthropomorphic global warming, man-made. And really what they're doing, that's a religion. And even science itself falls into religion. What do you think peer review, you know, when they talk about peer review, and they trounce that around as if it's some sort of magical thing that absolves them. Peer review. Well, what is that? What is that? Why, you have some sort of scientist. He's got all of these, you know, he's revered like some sort of a religious leader. They're peer reviewed. You know, and it's really, it's a religion. It's no different than the church elders saying that this is the dogma. They even call that dogma, by the way. So it really is a religion. You know, the science, people want to say, well, it's science and you have to follow the science and the science changes or whatever. Well, the problem is that it often doesn't change because the dogma kind of gets in the way. But then you have a lot of people, you know, they're ordinary people that think, well, I'm scientifically minded. So, you know, scientist X says this, so therefore that's what I'm going to follow. That's what I'm going to believe. And I'm going to base my actions on that. Because scientist X says it was so. So there are still plenty of people that believe that, cholesterol's bad and, lower your fat or you're going to die, blah, 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 blah. And so in the meantime, people have done that. And look at all the obese people running around. There's, and not only obese people, but people, even worse than that is the compromised metabolisms. And I really do believe that compromised metabolisms are what cause people to end up becoming way more sick than they should. Because I'm beginning to believe, now I may be misguided, but I'm beginning to believe that, if your metabolism, if you've got a normal metabolism and it's working properly and you're not inundating it with all kinds of carbohydrates, I've begun to believe, and I might be wrong, this is just my opinion, I'm going to warn you, but this is my opinion, but I've begun to believe that I think it's entirely possible that if you have you've got a functional immune system that's not compromised with a bunch of sugar and excess insulin release, you end up with a virus and your system is able to just fight it off and you may not even realize that it happened. The reason that I've begun to think that, I haven't been sick in the past, since I started this, it's been over 3 years ago. It's been longer than 3 years at this point. Maybe early December February, March, April. So it's pushing 3.5 years since I started this, and I haven't been sick once, not even with a cold. There was a couple of times where the roof of my mouth felt kind of funny, and I thought, well, I might be coming down with something, but then it never materialized. And I think what happened, now I might be wrong, but I think what happened, I got some sort of a virus and my system fought it off and I hardly even noticed. But I haven't, a 3 year plus period ever where I didn't end up with some kind of a cold or something. You know, for years I would, you know, maybe a couple of times a year I'd have a cold. You know, at least some sort of a cold or something. You know, and it would kind of drag on for days. But of course, that was back when I was just, you know, stupidly, well, I was misinformed. I was eating all of the stuff that people eat. You know, but, so I think, you know, the problem, you know, people follow, you know, they'll look at, you know, whatever the authority is. You know, and if the authority's got the right trapping and they've got the right, you know, in the case of people that want to follow the science, you know, they get these people with all the pedigrees after their name, you know, and they look at them as if they're, you know, every word that comes out of their mouth is some sort of a religious canon. And it really is a religion, because they actually have faith. You know, they've got faith in the, you know, they claim, well, it's faith in the scientific process, but it's really faith in the elders of the church. You know, you got Saint Hawking and, you know, he's the big one. They worshipped him. The guy in the wheelchair, he's been dead for a few years now, but they really revered him. You know, and you've got Saint Einstein. You know, he's right up there with them. You know, and then there's a bunch of other ones. But those are the two big ones that come to mind. But there's plenty of other ones. But the problem, you can't put your faith into people. You've got to use your own common sense. But it's so easy to twist it around in your mind to think that you are using common sense because, oh, I'm putting my faith into the scientific process and, you know, in rationality. You know, and these people have studied it and blah, 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 blah. And of course, you just take their word for it. You know, so it's, you got to be careful. Because, you know, it really is, you know, oftentimes, you know, whatever the mainstream, you know, whatever they're trying to, the whatever it is that they're trying to push, you know, they're trying to pressure you into, it's probably, there's a good chance it's the opposite is true. And of course, once they flip-flop, they never go back and admit that they were wrong. And a lot of times people, you know, the scientists just have to die off. The so-called scientists just have to die. And they're basically the religious authorities. The religious, it's a religion. It is a religion. And they have to die off in order to, and then it can potentially change. But the history of science is littered with, people like Galileo that went through hell and back because they went, you know, what their thoughts, you know, kind of went against the mainstream at the time. And that continues through to today. We, you know, just because we have all this communication doesn't mean that we're that much better informed at all. It means, you know, it could mean the opposite. because just because we have all this communication doesn't mean that what's being communicated is true. Because it's just as likely to not be true. Lies are often presented as the truth. You know, presented, you know, with all of the trappings of the, you know, that cause people to want to believe it. You know, it's Pavlovian conditioning. You know, if the like a news announcer says that, you know, they practice, you know, practice sounding authoritative. And if they've got the right clothing and, you know, the right suit and everything, then all of a sudden it, you know, it, and they're on television somehow, you believe them. Even though they're often, nowadays, especially, they're lying. So you really do have to figure these things out for yourself. So, but anyway, I've got a voice file from Joel, so I'm going to go ahead and play that now. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom, it's Joel McLaughlin here. I'm listening to the one you just brought out today. For once. And here, I'm going to start driving here. As I'm at Lowe's, I'm picking up a tool and some connectors I need. I'm working on a little project at home. I have gig service to Spectrum with fiber connections, okay? And unfortunately, when we built the house, I was planning that the internet would come in via coax, and I didn't find out until way too late that we would have fiber service. The whole neighborhood has fiber. You can't get anything else. So, initially when we first moved in, I set up the router outside, and I have a mesh system. The one I have is one of the lower end, but still decently performing ones from Asus. And the only thing is now some of the mesh systems have a wireless backhaul that is not Wi-Fi. Mine is not one of those. So the backhaul, and by backhaul I mean is the communication between the nodes. All right. So that way you can hop on one of the nodes. It's not the nodes don't have to be wired. You can just have them spread through the house. So to help augment the Wi-Fi. And my new house is fairly large when compared to my old one. So yeah, the other day I just got a little bit tired because the speed has been acceptable and fast enough for everything I need, but I'm paying for a gig, but I wasn't seeing anywhere close to it. I mean, like way off. Yeah, I'm not talking like 100 megabit difference. I'm talking more like 300 difference. So I bought a pair of coax to Ethernet adapters, and I got coax in the wall that I don't use because we've long cut the cord. Don't have cable TV, don't want it. All right. So the coax is in the wall, not doing anything. And there's one in my office where I need the router. And it just so comes to be that when the Spectrum guy did the installation, he drug all those cables. Those cables were originally connected out, basically hanging out the one side of the building. He brought those in and then brought those into the box. So all I got to do to use them is put some coax connectors on the end of the cable. Unfortunately, I don't know which one's which, so what I'll probably do is put three connectors on all three cables because that's the only jacks that we have in house. All I have to really do is try each one until I get a good Ethernet connection. And once I get a good Ethernet connection between those two points, then I can probably move my router inside, which is where I wanted it in the first place, at least the main router. And then hopefully, at a minimum in my office, I get the 800 on the Ethernet. Now, Wi-Fi, I would like to get it closer too. But well, then at that point, I can switch to the wired backhaul, and all of my mesh nodes will be communicating over Ethernet. And then that way, hopefully, we get closer to 700 megabits. That the Wi-Fi backhaul takes more bandwidth away than I really realized. So. Didn't really matter at the apartment when I first had this router because I only could get 50 meg down. But anywho, then I got to thinking about you're talking about your credit card, and I'm in a local Facebook group, which is more for me laughing because most of the things in there are inane and stupid. Someone complained about that they use Instacart, and apparently they just use straight credit card stuff within Instacart, and apparently their shopper bought stuff on their card or something. I don't know how that happens, but that's how it happened, I guess. One thing that I just started doing it because it's easy, because, you know, it's, you know, just tap a button and I don't have to enter in any cards. The Instacart will take Google Pay. So I have a card or two connected on that, go to Google Pay, and when Google Pay issues the payment, it issues it with a single-use credit card number. So, and the nice thing about that number is there's a limit on it. And it's going to be a little bit lower or a little bit higher. The limit itself is a little bit higher than what your order is, just in case you need to swap stuff out. Okay. But it's only used once, and then that can't happen. So, more and more, if I can use Google Pay, I always use it because... that way, those stores don't get, and that way it works that way for them too, for just like a grocery store, it will generate a new card every single time. So it's a lot more safer than using regular credit card number, and it's on your phone. And I know it doesn't work that way for restaurants, at least, none ones that, I won't go to Red Robin again, but Red Robin has their little card terminals at the table, and at least they used to before the pandemic. But I want to say I thought those ones you could actually tap and pay and all that jazz. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm not going to go to Red Robin again. we basically was right not after the president announced that we don't really need to wear masks anymore or anything like that. It was early on when we were first moved into this area, and we went in there to go get some hamburgers at Red Robin. And my son, he has a medical exemption for wearing the mask. And it's because he gets really bad anxiety because he's had some medical procedures and stuff like that. And he's also on the autism spectrum. So it's all sensory there. And the restaurant didn't care. So we just walked out. We won't go again. That simple. Their burgers are just okay anyway. So, all right. Well, I got to get off the phone here because I'm going to go order me a coffee, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay. Well, thank you, Joel. So you were talking about the router. while I was home, I made a trip to Best Buy, and well, let me back up. You know, initially when I got the fiber, and that's been a number of months ago, they were giving 200, you know, I was paying for 100 the 100 megabit up, and it's supposed to be 100 megabits up and down. And so that's what I was paying for, but they were giving 200, and they claimed that it was because of the pandemic. And, you know, but now I notice that they dropped that back to 100. And I could kind of tell it a little bit. You know, it's still fast at 100 megabits. It's still pretty fast, but there are some things that, you know, that I do that I, you know, would kind of notice that it wasn't quite as fast as it was. So I decided that to go ahead and get the gig service. And so I went ahead and upgraded to the gig service. And so then I went to Best Buy, and so I upgraded my routers. Now, I had what I've had for the last few years is Eero, E-E-R-O. And I don't remember which model designation it was. They were small, you know, kind of like small pucks, and so each one of them is there are three of them, and you can buy them individually, but what I bought initially was the three in the box. So you just pick one of them and you attach that to your that's the gateway. You attach that to your internet. And then you have two others, and you kind of put them wherever, you know, in your house. And it, you know, and generally it's pretty easy to set that up because you just use the app, the Eero app, E-E-R-O. You use the app on, you know, like I used it on my phone, and you just keep adding devices. And so that worked really well. So I decided I was going to go ahead and upgrade, you know, because they've come out with an Eero 6 Pro or something. And it's a little bit bigger pucks, you know, and it's still three in a box. So I bought that, and so I did go ahead and upgrade my network. Now, you know, if I, you know, of course, the speed test, the Eero itself is doing the speed test, the main gateway that's plugged into the fiber equipment. And it's right at a gig. You know, I can't look at it right now, but it's just right, you know, just like, you know, just right under a gig, up and both up and down. Because the app itself periodically runs a test. And one of the nice things about the Eero system is that I can be completely outside my network anywhere in the world, and I can look at it and I can see exactly what's going on with my home network. You know, I can see what's connected to what, how much data is being used, and I can be on my network, or I can be completely away from it and still see what's going on with it. So, but I know what you're talking about. If you wire in between the nodes, obviously, if you, you know, with Ethernet, then you're going to end up with better performance. But it's easy, and I could wire, I suppose, if I really wanted to, I could wire the things in place. But, you know, it's easy not to. Especially one of them, it would be really easy to wire it, now that I think about it. And I actually have some, you know, like extra Ethernet cable. So I could do that. Now, I don't know if I have the right cable now, because the Ethernet cable that I have is probably 100 megabit. You know, so that might not even work. So, to wire, you know, to go from the gateway one to the one that's more in this towards the center of the house, that would be pretty easy. But I'd probably have to get Cat 6 cable. So, you know, and then the other one that's more in the other part of the house, because I got one in my utility room in the other part of the house. That would be hard, you know, it would be more difficult to wire, because it, you know, the wire would end up being kind of in a way, at least where I have the thing set right now. But I could actually wire one of the two extra nodes. But that's an idea. So, but you know, I know what you're saying about, you know, it kind of does, because if the backhaul is going through Wi-Fi, which it does, I'm pretty sure it does on Eero, it does kind of degrade the performance, but it's still pretty fast. So. And not all of the devices that I have can take advantage of the speed. You know, some of the, you know, because I've got a bunch of older stuff, and some of the stuff just, you know, even some of the newer stuff doesn't quite, you know, can't take advantage of the really high speeds, like, you know, the way, well, like this S22 Ultra that I have does take advantage of the speed. You know, if I'm on my home Wi-Fi, it's, you know, and I do a speed test, it's, you know, it's taking advantage of it. But I think, you know, I don't know. I went ahead and upgraded, and so I have the, you know, I think it's a good idea to just kind of periodically upgrade some things. Not always, but, think when it comes to Wi-Fi, you know, eventually you end up with things that, over time, you're going to have a mix of older stuff and newer stuff, you know, and over time, the older stuff does kind of end up going off the end of the conveyor belt, and you it ends up being replaced. And so, you know, but I've got a ridiculous number of network devices connecting to my network typically. You know, I should count them and see how many I have, but it's kind of ridiculous. But that's me, so. But anyway, now the credit card, one of the things I've been doing lately is using the you know, because the credit cards, you know, most of them now have the little, looks like a Wi-Fi symbol. And so the idea is that you, instead of inserting it with the chip, you just kind of hold it on the little symbol on the, that most of the readers have. Not all of them have it, but a lot of them do. That actually works. You know, I know they claim, oh, you just have to tap it, but it works better if you just kind of lay it on there for a second till it beeps. So, but I think, I don't know. Now, what you're talking about using the Google Pay is that's interesting, because it, you know, if you're using your phone, it's generating a one-use credit card. That I could see where that would be useful. But so if you're using, I don't know, I guess I'd have to try that. If I put this Sam's MasterCard into the Google Pay, hopefully I would still get the cash back. I don't know exactly how that would work. Has this been, I've used the Google Pay. It's been a long time ago when I first tried it. And it was kind of connected to like my debit card. So it's been ages since I've even tried it. And the reason, you know, and I got it to work a couple of times. But, you know, of course, back then it was Sprint. Nowadays, you know, since T-Mobile kind of took over Sprint, it does work much, much better. But the Sprint, in particular, a lot of times inside buildings, it didn't really work very well. So that's kind of one of the reasons I sort of gave up on trying to use the phone instead of just whipping the credit card out. So, but that's something, I don't know, I might experiment with that. You know, see if I can load the Sam's card into the Google Pay and, you know, trying to, you know, use the phone as the, because I guess it's probably just using the NFC. You know, I'm sure it is. Because you got an NFC chip in the card, like most of the new credit cards, so you'd have an NFC chip, obviously, you do have in your phone. So I don't know if Google ends up taking a cut somehow, or, you know, obviously they're making money somehow. So, but I wouldn't want to jeopardize the cash back. Because it does add up. It does add up. So, you know, with the, especially all the dining that I do. So, but, anyway, I think I'm going to go ahead and bring this to a close. So I hope everyone is having a great week. Oh, by the way, I also, you know, while I'm thinking about it, I also, you know, I have at home, I've got a wood-burning fireplace. And I've had, you know, this, you know, it came with the house. And initially, back, you know, and I got the house in 1995. So initially, I used that fireplace maybe two or three times. Two times for sure, maybe three times. And so there's, you know, wood in the fireplace and ashes. And that's that wood that's in there has been in there for in excess of 20 years because, you know, got the house back in 1995. You know, so that wood is more than 20 years old that's in there. And I just haven't used it because I've got a forced air furnace. Why would I, you know, what would I do with the fireplace other than, you know, so for, you know, my mom's for a long time tried to convince me to put in like gas logs or whatever. But of course, that could be expensive because, you know, you've got to have some pay somebody to plumb the thing in and then, you know, and hook it up to electricity if you're going to control it by remote control and all of that type of thing. So, and then I guess they use a lot of gas as well. So you burn through a lot of gas with gas logs. So I've never done that. And then I thought, you know, there are electric fireplace inserts, you know, and so, but then I came across there's these so-called electric logs. So the idea is the same. It's, you know, you can, it actually has a built-in, like, electric heater that you can turn on if you wanted to put some heat out. But these electric logs have some very convincing flames. You know, like a flame display, and of course, a remote control. So you basically you put that in your, you know, like in my case, it's a real wood burning fireplace. Just put that those so-called electric logs in there, and they've got their own grade, and the, you know, of course, they look like wood. They're really convincing. They look like wood, and then they have this display that's quite convincing. So I watched a number of videos. So Went ahead and ordered some, so those should, you know, I should have those the next time I go home. And that would be kind of nice, just you know, because I don't really care about getting heat out of that thing, you know, but the fireplace, you know, because I've got, you know, why would I do that, you know, other than my mom might like that. You know, she likes to have heat. So, but otherwise it would be nice just to be able to have the display, and it's just LED lights, basically, that are generating the so-called, you know, the flame, the things that look like flames, and they're really convincing looking. So so I ordered that, so that'll be waiting on me when I go home the next time. I had it sent to that, you know, friend's house. So did get that, did order that as well. So anyway, I hope everyone's having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.